Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we begin the season of Advent, the traditional time for preparing to celebrate at Christmas Christ's first coming into the world as the babe of Bethlehem. Today's gospel reading about the end of the world reflects one of the traditional themes of Advent, Christ's second coming as judge at the end of all things. Remember the Mayan apocalypse? At the beginning of the Advent season 8 years ago, NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, took the unprecedented step of issuing an official public disclaimer, debunking the supposed prediction of the Mayan apocalypse that the end of the world would take place on December 21st, 2012. NASA said they took this unusual action because all the constant talk and never-ending news stories about the hyped-up Mayan apocalypse was extremely frightening to children and other vulnerable people who may take such tales seriously. The reason NASA, among all government agencies, issued this warning against the Mayan apocalypse hysteria was because this phony failed prediction was supposedly based on astronomical phenomenon. And NASA received a huge number of worried emails, letters, and phone calls. A NASA official said, "While this is a joke to some, there is a core of people who are truly concerned. Some can't eat or are too worried to sleep or even suicidal." In today's gospel reading, Jesus actually predicts such anguish on earth over the prospect of the end of the world. "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world." Like the Mayan apocalypse, since the year 1900, there have been 94 widely publicized predictions of dates for the end of the world, some of which were taken very seriously by large numbers of people. Obviously, since we are still here this morning, none of those dates came true. Based on Scripture, any prediction of a particular date for the last day can easily be dismissed as a fake. For Jesus himself explicitly declares, "No one knows that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And in Acts, Jesus tells his disciples, "It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority." Like the value of pi, which is beyond human comprehension to calculate, it is impossible for anyone ever to calculate when the end of the world will occur. No one knows that day or hour. Not the ancient Mayans, not any of the charlatans who made those 94 failed predictions, not even NASA. But even though such phony predictions are all meaningless fakes, it is true that the end of the world is coming. As Jesus says in today's gospel reading, "At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Scripture explains that the end of the world will come at the same instant as the second coming of Christ and the final judgment. Revelation says, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." Paul warns in Acts, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice." And Peter says, "That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians that all this will take place in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The end of the world could come at any time. For even though those funny predictions are meaningless fakes, the end of the world is coming. All the signs given in Scripture have, at least to some extent, been fulfilled. And the end of the world could come at any time. Before the end of this year, before the end of today, before the end of this service, before the end of this sentence. We confess in the Nicene Creed, He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. That is the real reason why the world is so hyped up over the supposed Mayan apocalypse and similar predictions. That is the real reason why, as Jesus says, nations will be in anguish and perplexity. Men will faint with terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. The thought of the end of the world causes such anguish and perplexity because we know that we are sinners, deserving damnation. We are so apprehensive about what is coming on the world because we know, as Jesus says, men will have to give an account on the day of judgment. But in stark contrast to worldly anguish and perplexity and apprehension about what is coming at the end of the world, in today's gospel reading, Jesus tells those who trust in him, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. In today's Old Testament reading, Jeremiah explains the source of this odd attitude Christians have toward the end of the world and the final judgment. When he prophesies the first coming of the Messiah into our world as a descendant of David, and then declares, "This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." You see, at the end of all things, when you stand before the judge, he will declare you not guilty, because he is the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord Jesus will declare you not guilty, because by his own perfect life, sacrificial death, and glorious resurrection, he paid for all your sins. He made you righteous in God's sight. As Paul says in today's epistle reading, you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God. Therefore, when these things begin to take place, do not faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming. Instead, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. For you and all who trust in Christ, his second coming and the end of the world and the final judgment is not bad news, but good news. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. During Advent this year, our sermon series is on words and sayings of the season, explaining the biblical background and meaning of words and sayings that we commonly hear and say ourselves this time of year. We begin this morning with the phrase, "Joy to the world," which is so familiar to us because of the famous hymn by that name, which we will be singing later in today's service. You may think it's odd to sing Joy to the World already on the first Sunday in Advent. There is always some question among pastors and church members about when we should start singing Christmas hymns in our worship. Technically, the Christmas season doesn't start until 6 p.m. on December 24th and continues through the 12 days of Christmas until Epiphany on January 6th. So in some churches, it is customary not to sing anything but Advent hymns during almost all of December. But this distinction between Advent and Christmas hymns is fluid and somewhat arbitrary. An example is today's sermon hymn, Martin Luther's Savior of the Nations Come. In the Evangelical Lutheran Hymn Book of 1927, it was listed as an Advent hymn. But the Lutheran hymnal of 1941 changed it to the Christmas category, where it stayed for over 40 years. Then the Lutheran worship hymnal in 1982 switched it back to Advent, where it remains in our current Lutheran service book. Another example is the hymn, Joy to the World. Certainly most people would consider this to be one of the quintessential Christmas carols. In fact, it's listed as the most published and recorded Christmas hymn in the world. But the irony is that when the famous hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote Joy to the World in 1719, he did not intend it to have anything to do with Christmas. Joy to the World was not written as a Christmas carol to commemorate Christ's first coming into our world as the babe of Bethlehem, which we celebrate at Christmas time. When we sing Joy to the World today, you'll notice it doesn't mention anything about the Christ child or Bethlehem or the manger or angels or shepherds or any of the familiar Christmas themes. That's because the title Isaac Watts himself gave to this hymn was The Messiah's Second Coming and Kingdom. That's what this beloved Christmas carol is really all about. Not Christ's first coming into our world at Christmas, but his second coming, his triumphant return at the last day. Watts based this hymn on Psalm 98, which we used in today's intro it. Let the hills sing together for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. So actually, Joy to the World would probably be better classified as an Advent hymn, since Christ's second coming and the final judgment at the end of the world is one of the traditional themes of Advent. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Peter says, rather than being frightened by the prospect of the end of the world, those who trust in Christ actually look forward to the day of God. And that is why we sing, Joy to the World. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Not only to celebrate Christ's first coming into our world as the babe of Bethlehem, but also in joyful anticipation of his second coming at the last day. The charlatans are at it again, with some now declaring that the coronavirus crisis and other upheavals taking place in our world right now are signs that the last day is upon us, perhaps before the end of this fateful year. When you encounter such hysteria, remember that the hymn Joy to the World, which you hear and sing so much this time of year, is really a hymn of joy, looking forward to Christ's second coming. Not with anguish and perplexity and apprehension like the world, but looking forward to that day with joy. Joy because Christ's first coming into our world as the babe of Bethlehem means that his second coming at the end of all things for you and all who trust in him will be filled with everlasting joy. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Amen.